Today's episode of the Watson Weekly Podcast is sponsored by Commerce Tools.
Make sure your brand and your business is ready for the trillion-dollar e-commerce market. Commerce Tools, the global leader in commerce and creator of the powerfully composable Mach architecture, can help you achieve bite-sized wins or upsized achievements faster than ever. Whether you are looking to reduce maintenance costs for legacy systems or put the power of AI to work for you quickly, Commerce Tools is your partner for commerce success. Go to commercetools.com to learn how to get started.
It's May 6, 2024, and this is the Watson Weekly, your essential e-commerce digest. Today on our show, Amazon reports terrific Q1 2024 earnings. Nordstrom's launches its marketplace. PayPal earnings reflect life in the slow lane. UPS to power Shein returns in Forever 21 stores. And finally, the Investor Minute, which contains five items this week from the world of venture capital, acquisitions, and IPOs. But first, in our shopping cart full of news, Amazon reports terrific Q1 2024 earnings. UPS and FedEx, did you catch the license plate of that big orange truck that hit you? Who else is exceeding the top end of revenue projections outside of Amazon? And I hope Fred Smith is enjoying his retirement. Amazon knocked their quarter out of the park, particularly from an operating income and free cash flow point of view, thanks to the trinity of fulfillment regionalization, AWS, and third-party marketplace. There's no mention of exactly how much more juice is left to squeeze from fulfillment, but my number would be 30% if I had to pin something on it, what Andy Jassy did not. Already investing a few years and a few more years to go, but the nature of optimization is those last few percentages are a lot harder. Let's get to Amazon Q1 results. The company reported $143 billion in revenue, up 13% year over year, some of the best growth in the market, on $15 billion in operating income. $48 billion in trailing 12-month free cash flow, up $53.2 billion year over year. This was the mic drop moment. They went from negative free cash flow trailing 12 months to over $48 billion free cash flow. North American segment sales increased 12% year over year to $86 billion with operating income of $5 billion. International was up 11% to $31.9 billion in sales. Third-party services revenue was up 16% year over year to $34 billion, putting them on a something like a $162 billion run rate for this in 2024. Advertising sales were up 24% year over year, mostly sponsored products, up to $11.8 billion, putting them on a $58 billion run rate for 2024 for the ads business. AWS was up 17% year over year, now a $100 billion run rate business. Margins increased 800 basis points from Q4. International established markets got to profitability in the quarter, and emerging markets are still developing. Regionalization is helping the company increase their units per box, which is improving density and helping their profitability. In terms of Amazon's investment, over its history, Amazon goes through investment and harvest cycles, and sometimes they sync up, sometimes they don't. Amazon's capital expenditures were $48.4 billion last year and will be higher this year because of AI. CapEx already was $14 billion in Q1, and that 2024 run rate would put them 15-plus percent over 2023 to $55 billion in capital expenditures. Let's assume that without AI, their CapEx would be slightly down to something like $45 billion. This means Amazon is spending almost $1 billion a month on AI by my back-of-the-envelope math. In the next years, Amazon is in an optimization cycle with continued fulfillment network improvements, further improving free cash flow. AWS, on the other hand, is in a harvest cycle. AWS AI is in a very large investment cycle. Amazon's going to keep investing in a few areas, of course, nationwide grocery and AI. And of course, it seems to me like there's little risk Amazon will underinvest in AI. Jassy described it like cloud computing or the internet. Amazon noted that all new AI projects would be built on cloud, which could be a generational event for moving the 85% of worldwide compute from on-premise to cloud also, which would be a double opportunity for Amazon. I do not expect a large grocery rollout this year, even though Andy mentioned nationwide retail and perishables were critical for Amazon. If it were me, think of this year as a pilot phase of the new Tony Hoggett grocery regime. If early signs are good, the next phase of investment will also be small. Also, did anyone watch Roadhouse? Not a hit. That's the only thing I disagreed with on the call. I have seen Patrick Swayze and Jake Gyllenhaal. You are no Swayze. Our second story. Nordstrom launches its marketplace. Calling itself the Spotify of fashion doesn't help. Spotify has never turned a profit. Is that what consumers really want out of Nordstrom's? And I think Spotify, but what they really mean is personalization. But I'll let this analogy lay in your mind here for a second. Even if this is a good idea, I think the timing is more than a little curious. For a barely profitable department store with Nordstrom trying to go private, they launch a major new digital initiative at the same time? I mean, congrats to Miracle and Nordstrom on the launch, but color me skeptical on the transformational impact. Recall in 2011, Nordstrom entered the private sale marketplace trying to catch up to Gilt with the acquisition of Outlook. At the time, this was the quote, "We are giving customers a fuller range of options for the way they shop today." And they eventually shuttered that business and folded it into Nordstrom Rack. In 2024, on the launch of the new marketplace, this was the first value quote in the Nordstrom press release. "Allows us to offer the full expression of our best brands and expands the depth of products and sizes we offer our customers." Here are a few key points. At this point, most vendors are required to drop ship for retailers in between reorder cycles. But this assortment is usually not wide because of the cost and labor to set up a new SKU. Marketplace should streamline this. And Marketplace should allow Nordstrom to streamline its brand onboarding process and widen its assortment. Extending sizing on the same owned SKU is a relatively more advanced marketplace function. Will Nordstrom be able to pull this off? And let's be clear, offering full array of sizes online is not going to save Nordstrom. This has to be about new brands. And can I please ask Nordstrom why they don't do more collabs? Nordstrom is investing more in digital following a multi-year digital investment supercycle for Macy's and 2 years after the pandemic? Feels late. With the expansion of Rack offer this year, and no doubt due to consumers trading down, it's clear that online may be the domain of full-price freshness it can't afford to carry inventory on in stores. This constant multi-year dance between off-price and full-price is confusing and damaging to the brand. Let's hope that a well-curated marketplace does not cheapen it further and instead delivers on brand freshness and assortment. Our third story. PayPal earnings reflect life in the slow lane. Does anyone remember the old segment of Mad TV called Lowered Expectations, which showed humorous segments about first dates that didn't work out quite as planned? Lowered expectations would be a great word for the future of PayPal. By my math, at the end of 2026, Shopify's gross payment volume will be about 15% of PayPal's total transaction volume. Let me say this as nice as I can. PayPal does not want to let Shopify get traction, but it's fighting with three arms tied behind its back. At the bottom of the earnings call, the PayPal CEO indicates the company is fighting 15 years worth of legacy integrations with its merchants. Regardless of what you hear about PayPal Fastlane, the company innovation will most certainly be in the slow lane. PayPal's revenue growth wasn't terrible. It grew 9% and operating income grew faster at 15%, with total payment volume growing 14% year over year. Overall, here are my expectations. Slow progress and a slew of layoffs and restructuring, and slow uptake on new products due to legacy PayPal integrations. And let me outline a few direct quotes from the call with my commentary. Quote, "Our new leadership team is operating well together, and we are really starting to put our arms around the business." Translation, did he just use the word really here? I think they just had a fun offside and did some trust falls. Seriously, quote, "starting to get your arms around the business"? The new CEO started last September. Next quote, "We also see substantial need for continued retooling of the company." Translation, "Trust me, it's worse here than it even looks from the outside. If you have a job today at PayPal, start polishing your resume." Next quote, and believe me, these are real quotes. Quote, "We have a plan, but it will take time to prudently drive a meaningful and sustainable transformation." Translation, Sorry, even I can't decode this BS. I prudently declined to comment on the psychobabble. The best I can come up with on this one is, don't hold your breath. Here's the next quote. PayPal Fastlane. We are just getting started and already creating a low double-digit lift in guest checkout conversion for participating merchants, meaning hardly anyone. We expect to make PayPal Fastlane generally available in the U.S. in the second half of the year. Translation? Oh my gosh. All of our competitors report 25% checkout improvement, but since we just started on our journey, we only got 10%. Even our competitors print analyst results, but we haven't let third parties validate these results. There's more. Next quote. Additionally, we are continuing to focus on making it even easier to pay with PayPal by removing friction from the checkout process. Our leadership team is continuing to go through our business from top to bottom, understanding where we can operate more efficiently and invest in innovation that will offer the greatest impact for all of our customers and PayPal. This is a mindset shift. Translation? What the hell was your mindset before? It keeps going. Next quote. We're also in the early stages of evaluating the overall dynamics and pipeline over our 10,000 top merchant accounts. My translation for this is, we have not yet received our 200-page PowerPoint from McKinsey Consulting. And as the company evaluates its progress, they still have clear opportunities to price to value, end quote. My translation for price to value is, if you thought our product was bad before, wait until we raise the prices. The company also said that the interest income on customer balances was the highest contributor to transaction margin growth in the quarter. What that means to me is that they're making it hard for merchants to remove their balances and they're basically a poorly run bank. Please buy more of our stock so it goes up. And remember, this is the same CEO who said in January, we will shock the world. I wish I were making this up, but let me just say this. Muhammad Ali shook up the world. This earnings call instead put me to sleep and left me more worried for the future of PayPal. Attention, Shopify team. Whatever resources you have on payments, triple them. And our last story. UPS to power Shein returns in Forever 21 stores. Is this some kind of sick joke? What is it with this episode? If there are three names I would never expect to hear in the same sentence, it's UPS, Shein, and Forever 21. Yet, here we are. Here's the news from Retail Dive. On the back of launching a capability for online retailers to accept returns from different brands, Forever 21 is now partnering with Happy Returns, owned by UPS, to accept Shein customers to make returns without a box in over 300 Forever 21 stores. If this is going to be the way of things, I predict Forever 21 may not be in business very long, and perhaps this is Jamie Salter's entire idea. Forever 21 holds all that expensive real estate on the books, and Shein retains all the profit. This solution can work with any returns portal and generate a QR code which can be used at a drop-off by the consumer. For Happy Returns, this is a no-brainer, and for US, this is likely a win as well to increase backhaul return density. Now a word from our sponsor, Commerce Tools. When a multi-billion dollar beauty brand's e-commerce platform neared the end of its life, the entire business was at risk, including the ability to serve customers. By switching to Commerce Tools and embracing a more flexible mock architecture, the retailer's vision for connecting in-store and personalized shopping experiences became a reality. The brand can now roll out new features within days, securing its position as a modern brand that uses technology to its advantage. If you're being held hostage by your technology platform and your developers have thrown up their hands, tell them to start a free trial at commercetools.com today. It's that time, friends, for our Investor Minute. We have five items on the menu today. First, AI-designed snack maker Rivals raises $6.1 million in seed funding. Healthy snack maker Rivals raised $6.1 million in seed funding that will be used to expand production, sales, and marketing. How many healthy snack companies can there be? Second, product information platform Pimberly raises 4 million euros in funding. Product information management and digital asset management SaaS solution Pimberly has raised 4 million pounds in venture funding, which will be used to expand and grow in the US and European markets. Third, payments processor Helsim raises $20 million Series B. Canadian payments processor Helsim has raised a $20 million Series B funding round, which will be used to launch new solutions for the small and medium business sector. What makes them and their investors bullish for the future? Fourth, Klarna is in talks with banks for a U.S. IPO. Fintech platform and shopping solutions provider Klarna has spoken to investment banks for a potential $20 billion initial public offering in Q3 2024. Could Klarna be the largest IPO this year? And finally, Stripe announced tender offer to provide employee liquidity. Stripe partnered with investors to offer former and current employees a $65 billion tender offer with some capital used to repurchase shares to offset dilution from its employee equity compensation program. Is this a new reality for late-stage private companies? And today's final word of the week for May 6, 2024 is lucky. It hit me the other day. It's crazy how Shopify has been able to conquer the e-commerce platform market with a truly disinterested set of competitors, including Adobe, who doesn't care so much about commerce, Salesforce, who forgot they bought Demandware, and BigCommerce, not so much either. With Shopify's sights set on payments, they are poised to take share from PayPal, where in a normal market, this would be PayPal's battle to lose, and you're left wondering what weapons PayPal has to fight against Shopify's eventual rise. Granted, Shopify is much smaller than PayPal in terms of payment volume and doesn't actually own its own processor, but no one wants a fast-growing competitor in their segment. Did you know that RMW Commerce has a brand new podcast? Check out the Watson Weekend for an unfiltered and lively e-commerce chat each week with me, my co-host Jess Lisewski, and an array of interesting guests and topics, all focused on e-commerce. You can find the Watson Weekend by searching for it on iTunes, Spotify, and especially YouTube. That's all for this week. Till next time, Watsonians. Hi, I'm Rick Watson, CEO and founder of RMW Commerce Consulting and host of the Watson Weekly Podcast, your essential e-commerce digest. Our production partner for the series is Citizen Racecar. The show is produced by Jose Baez, production manager Gabriela Montequin. To hear new episodes of the show every Monday morning, subscribe now at rmwcommerce.com/Watson Weekly and wherever you get your podcasts.